praying for us, and the Asian churches are praying for us, and they're praying for us because we sowed so much into the nations with missions and care and benevolence. And Father, I just don't want us to be robbed. I don't want us to be robbed by holding back, by drawing back. You say you take no pleasure in those who draw back. So, Father, I thank you for this nation. I just want to continue to bless it and serve it the way it deserves to be served. Oh, Father, I thank you for this day, and I pray that each and every one of us will receive and hear your opinion. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It wasn't exactly 3 points and a conclusion. But if you didn't get the conclusion, you're as deaf as a post. Okay, praise God. Where should we turn? Let's go to 1 John 5:14. I'm trying to get back onto the subject that I preached last week. If you weren't here last week, somebody told me it was good. In fact, our intercessors told me it's the best message they ever heard on prayer in their life. So I don't know if it was good or not. Okay, last week I talked about, out of James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And how important it is to pray not only fervently, which most of us don't, come on folks, and to pray effectively, which most of us don't, because we don't know the word, and we pray for things with us, as the Bible says, we pray to consume it on our own lusts. Book of James. But we also don't pray as righteous people. We pray sometimes subconsciously as worms and maggots, because we read the book of Job once. We are not worms and maggots. We are children of God. I am righteous because of Jesus. The reason my granddaughter is large, guess why she's large? Because her grandfather is large, and he planted a tree. And some apples fell off that tree, and the apples were large. And then those apples planted a tree, and the apples are falling off that tree, and guess what? Adeline has been born strong. She got it from the neighbors. I understand that, but that's not the truth. She got it because the reality is either you accept your birth or you don't. My question is, what did you have to do to become an American? Answer, be born an American. So what do you have to be righteous? Answer, be born of a righteous seed. He who knew no sin became sin so that you may become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. What part of that don't we understand? Okay. Now, although there's a lot of people out there giving me weird looks, let me give you an answer. Anybody know the Bible well enough to know who Lot was? Lot? You know Lot? What would your opinion, not that it's got any value like mine, but what would your opinion of Lot be? Nephew Lot. Uncle Abraham, I'm fed up. What was that? Carnal, that's a good start, yeah. Selfish. Uncle Abraham, I know you've got a relationship with God. I know that you, and if it wasn't for you, everybody would still be outside of God's promise. I understand, Uncle Abraham, that you're the most important man in the world. I understand, Uncle Abraham, that you are the first Jew. I understand, Uncle Abraham, that God's made a covenant with you, and nobody else matters except this covenant that God made with you. But I don't want to come under your authority. I want my own place. Does anybody know that verse? I kind of added a little Vaughanism in it, but... Yeah, but so Abraham said, go for your life, son, what do you want? Well, I want the best, of course. Go, take it. So off he went. Later, it talks about Lot, that young man, and it talks about the people in Sodom and all that, and then it said this, sorry, I'm going to quote the King James, it said, and it vexed the soul of righteous Lot. Righteous Lot? Are you kidding me? He's a brat. He needs a whack. And you're calling him righteous? How come? Well, Abraham. Ugh. You mean because of Abraham, his rotten nephew's righteous? Yeah. Oh, jeez. That ain't fair. I know, but I'm God and you ain't. Oh. Okay. Can you hear me? I mean, do you think Paris Hilton deserves all that money? Huh? You think she deserves... Oh, but you work so hard, you little brat. No, she's in the seed, right? Anyway, I'm not going to go there much more. You have a breastplate of righteousness. It is your inheritance. It's a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it because one man earned it for you and gave it to you. Romans 5:17. So, okay, now we're going to move on, and there's a reality that last week I spoke to you, the difference the covenants make, that Elijah, a great prophet, one of the great prophets, obviously he was on the mountain with Jesus and Moses, so he must have been pretty impressive, where it said that when Elijah was battling the prophet, by the way, in case you're wondering what this t-shirt says, it says, England, rugby champions of the world. And the World Cup, Rugby World Cup, every 4 years starts next Saturday. And guess what the opening game is between? Well, not the opening game, but the first weekend. It's between England and America. First time they've ever played together against each other in the World Cup. So I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to be bipartisan and say, your will be done, Lord. Like most Christians who are blooming Hindus. And, yeah, that was a low blow, but sometimes you've got to get it that way to go, oh! Anyway. Isn't that amazing that next week, England and America, and I think, who should I root for? It actually doesn't matter. I know he's going to win, but I don't know who to root for. See, now there, see, that's a classic. That is a classic. That is such a classic remark. I took my mother out once. We went, she wanted to see San Francisco, so we flew out there. I got some air tickets free, I forget how. We flew out there, we got a car, and we drove around, and we did Alcatraz and all that stuff that San Francisco has to offer, great place, Muir Woods. And then we went to Reno. You know, my mother likes to travel. She wants to see what this country's got to offer. So we go to Reno, and one day we're sitting there and we're, you know, my mother's 92 years old and she's been around the world more than you lot put together. I don't know about the Navy guy. But, and so we're sitting in a restaurant on whatever night it was. And I could hear these guys talking, you know. And I went and looked over and I noticed that their shirt said RFC, Rugby Football Club. So I said, g'day guys, so what's up, what's happening? He said, oh, we're the Australian Combined Services Rugby Team. I said, oh, that's good. I said, and you're on a team? Yes, it's great, mate. I said, we're playing tomorrow. I said, where? Well, okay. Yeah, we're playing against the American Combined Services rugby team. I thought, wow, that'd be good. He said, oh, yeah. And he's tucking in and swigging beer and in training. So my mother loves rugby, obviously. And so we went to the game the next day, and there's all the Americans in their blue, and they're all dressed up, running up and down the field. Well, they're military guys playing rugby. And they were all passing the ball, and they looked. I thought, whoa, they're an impressive bunch. And then the Aussies turn up. Oh, mate, That was a bit of a late night when the guys are dragging up, right? And they sit on the side of the field and start getting changed. I'm like, this is an international game, for God's sake. Nah, mate, it's a game of rugby. And so, lacing their boots up, and they drag them so you can see their heads were just hanging off. And they start throwing the ball about. And say, William, don't make so much noise when you pass it and all that. And so, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I think it's because it's Sunday. And so, now, I want you to hear this. At the time, I don't know about now, the American military combined forces totaled nearly 2 million. The Australian military combined forces total was about 20,000. So help me with my math. Is that 100 to 1? So there's 100 times bigger resources for the American rugby. 100 times. And the little Aussie military, oh, we get a team. We'll play you. Okay, America, we'll play you. Anyway, we watched for a little while, and the game, you know, it ended up, was it the Americans had 6? The Australians had 65. Why do you think that is? Americans don't play rugby. Ah. So it doesn't matter whether you've got 100 to 1 resources. If you don't play the game, you're going to get your butt kicked. Next week, England's playing America. And you can whine all you like. You can, all you want. England's going to win. Handle it. You see, until you start handling these things in life, life's going to continue to be unfair, and Lot is going to be as righteous as your opinion. And you're going to be as righteous as your opinion, even though God's right. Now, if God said, you've been born of a righteous seed, you're righteous. Your opinion doesn't matter. Because he plays righteousness. We don't. Did we get that? I thought it was a good example, considering I have no idea what I'm doing this morning. Must be the excitement of my new granddaughter. 1 John 5:14. Are you with me? Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Somebody say in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Why? You remember last week I said because the Bible says in the book of Peter that God's ears are always open to the righteous. Therefore, the more I understand my righteousness that has been imputed to me through Jesus Christ, the easier it is for me to talk to God when I mess up. Now, most of us can talk to God very confidently when we're doing well. But he's not really interested in listening to you then. He wants to listen to you when you ain't doing well so he can really listen to you. Did you all hear that? I've never said that before. Somebody make a note. Because when you're not doing that well is when your heart begins to say, oh, God. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then he goes on and says, and if we know he hears us. Can everybody hear that? 1 John 5:14, 5:15. If we know that he hears us, we have the petition we've asked of him. Okay, so let's do this. Turn over on the back of your... Has everybody got your bulletin, your notes out and your bulletin there? You haven't got it yet? I'm sorry. Visitors, if I haven't explained that to you. All your notes are all in here. All the scriptures I'm going to quote, not all of them, but on there. Right, now turn it over. Number one, what does the prayer say? Prayer does not change God's mind. Prayer does not change God's mind. If it's too cold, you can turn the air conditioning off. Prayer does not change God's mind or will. I want you to know this. That Malachi, see the small reference there for your homework? It simply says this. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Is there any part of that we don't get? God is not going to change his mind because of your prayer. Are we okay with that? He's not going to change his mind. He is not even going to be surprised when you tell him what's happened. Do you ever think about this? Jesus died for everybody's sin. Then you sin and you tell God and God goes, oh! Now, I don't want to sound facetious, but I'm trying to get a point across here. Do you think God's up in heaven going, wow, I'd have never thought you'd have done that? Can you imagine that? Really? You know how so many times in prayer meetings it's a gossip session? You're actually praying for somebody, you're not, you're really informing the rest of the room what somebody's done wrong. Yeah, you can repent of that too. And you certainly won't do it in my presence, because I'll shut you up. Okay. Prayer does not change. I'm sorry if this sounds, I love this subject, and I'm trying to get it across that prayer should be the most natural thing to you, like giving money. It's part of your spirit. It's part of who you are. It's like, okay, fish, listen, get in the water and go like that. No, like that. Well, do you get that one? Does anybody get that one? Finding Nemo. Come on, man, what do you guys do with your life? You see, teaching someone to pray is, you do have to teach people to pray, that's true. But it's a little bit like teaching Daniel right now how to kiss Amber, if you get my drift. They got married yesterday. If he needs any help on that, he's dead. He's flatlined, man. I think I'm going to laugh. Hang on. Yeah, I'm going to laugh. Can you imagine? Do you accept this woman? She was gorgeous, man. Who was there yesterday? Was she gorgeous or what? It's gorgeous. And then marrying Sam says, you may now kiss the bride. Oh, how do I do that? My mind works too fast, sorry. Prayer should be as natural as that. You see, because prayer, you're not Elijah on Mount Carmel saying, Lord, hear my prayer. You're like Jesus, his son, his firstborn son. We're the rest. We're many sons, daughters. We're in. Jesus stood outside Lazarus' tomb and said, Father, I thank you that you hear me and you always hear me. Is there a difference there between Lord, hear my prayer, and Father, I thank you that you hear me and you always hear me? Abba, Vaughn, messed up again. Here I am again. It's me again. Now, one of the biggest problems is our cluelessness of know how to pray when we mess up. That's one of our biggest problems in life. We can all pray when we got the victory. But it ain't worth anything. You got the victory. Anyway, it's like praying for money after you win the lottery. You okay? So, it's knowing how to approach God when you mess up is what it's all about. Do you ever get mad at God? No, well, you should, because some of you are mad. Come on, folks, guys, are you listening to me? Some of you are mad, so you get mad at your wives, you get mad at your kids, you get mad at your boss, you get mad at the pastor, instead of getting mad at God. Oh, I can't do that. Well, why are you doing it to me? Why are you doing it to your wife? Do you think if you get mad at God, he's going to go, like God's a wimp or something, and he doesn't know you're mad? Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you get this? The scripture says, where are we? The scripture says on Thursday, Hebrews 4:6, Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we can obtain mercy and find the grace to help in a time of need. Not in a time of victory, in a time when we've messed up. So coming boldly to the throne of grace is the most important reality in your life. Okay, I need some volunteers. I want Gary. See how he did that? See how he volunteered? He stood up. Thanks, Gary. Grab a chair, mate, will you? Now grab a chair. How do they work? Okay, right. And could you sit maybe by that? Sit there. You're going to be Jesus, mate. Oh, cool. Yeah. No, I'd rather you sat kind of. Okay, now we need a devil. Anybody want to be the devil? Come on, who wants to be the devil? It's funny, nobody. Get a chair. You can get your own. Sit right there. Now, how many of you are kind of familiar with the book of Job? You know, you've read it, heard it, been preached it several times. You just shook hands. Oh, all right. Come over here. Face that way. Move your chair to face that way. That way. More. Right. That's it. I saw him fall out of heaven. Now, that was quick, guys. Come on. That's more like it. Now, in the book of Job, he used to come and talk to him. Right? Now, consider this. Is everybody aware of the only way we can get to God? Is by, yeah, a bit more specific. It's Jesus, but the blood of Jesus. Right? So the blood cleansed the heavenly tabernacle that gave us access. Some of you may not know that in the old covenant, there's never been a covenant that's made that hasn't been made with blood. And I'm going to say this, the covenant of marriage is made with blood. Do you all know that? Which is why, you know, you're supposed to be a virgin when you get married, because that's where the blood comes from. And so the covenant that God made initially with Abraham and then Moses is once a year the high priest had to come to God. He had to be one man once a year. One man once a year. He had to wash and cleanse himself for 10 days. He had to be dressed and everything else. And they knew that if he didn't come in right, God would kill him. You remember when Moses in the mountain, he said, if anybody comes up, then shoot him with an arrow. Remember that? Because God was smoke and thunder and lightning. Thank God for Jesus. So the high priest used to have to come with blood on their ear and their thumb and their toe. In other words, cleanse their hearing, their actions, their steps. And come bolt, and they used to have pomegranates and bells around their robes. And they used to say there was a rope tied to their leg, so in case they dropped dead because they hadn't done it right, and they could drag them out. How's that? Next Sunday morning, you can pick your ropes up at the door as you come in. So anyway, that's what I'm talking about. That's what it was like, right? Now, I would just like to present to you this thought. Can the devil now come to God the way he did in the day of Job? If he can, what is he using for entranceway? Anyway, I'm just going to leave it at that. That's why the Bible says the devil is like a lion wandering around. seeing who he may devour. Anyway, I just think things changed when Jesus died. Good theological argument. Okay, I just messed up. So now, the only way I can unmess, guess what? You can't unmess by prayer. You can't unmess by doing good works. You can't unmess by anything. You can only unmess when you confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you all your sin and all your... He is the... Okay? There's nothing you can do when you mess up to unmess. Nothing. Try all you like, wasting your time. Spitting against the wind is the polite way of putting it. So therefore, I've just messed up, and now I'm going to go and do... Oh, God! Why did I do that? Oh, what should I do? Oh, I remember the Bible says that Jesus is faithful and just to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then you go there, and this guy, you get about here, and he says, where are you going? Try it. I'm going to the throne of grace. Because we haven't rehearsed this, by the way, as you can tell. I just messed up, and then he begins to say, well, you're not going to go in and see him like that, are you? You're not going to go and see him after what you just did, are you? Well, shouldn't you make things right before you go and see him? And what happens is at this moment, when you're that far away from the only answer, you begin to hear a voice. It's called the Prince and Power of the Air. And so you hear this voice, and this voice is called the Accuser of the Brethren. Right? Now, you've forgotten the scripture that says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? You've forgotten that scripture because you're listening to this jerk. Are you staying with me here? Can you grasp this? So what happens? That's the easy part, right? So you want to come to Jesus. You want to come for forgiveness. But suddenly you say, well, where are you going? And you stop. And you answer him. What? He's been arguing with people for thousands of years, and you think you can out-argue him? I got in a conversation on Friday with somebody who's in a cult. And you just realize the devil's the lord of the argument. Help me, somebody. The devil is the lord of the argument. Because you can't out-argue the devil. There's only one way to deal with him. Ignore him. Let me give you a scripture on that. It's on your paper. Are you right there? Good. I actually wasn't talking to you. I was ignoring you. Friday, John 14:30 says, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. I'd like to remind you, before Jesus Christ died, the devil was the ruler of the earth, which is why he could tempt Jesus by saying, listen, all this, I'll give it to you. He had the authority. He was the ruler of the earth. You just read it, right? So, Jesus said, the ruler of the earth is coming, and he has nothing in me. Right, now. So if you're smart enough, you may be able to just go into the throne of grace. But then what happens is, again, he asks you. But then he adds one little word. Again. Where do you think you're going after what you've done? Again. How many of you ever heard that? Go on, raise your hands. Huh? In other words, any habitual sin, any sin that you haven't, you know, that you've been doing for years and years and years, or all your life, or whatever you want to call it, that's the one the devil doesn't want you to go in there with. Right? Where do you think you're going after what you've done again? Ha! That's why I love Jesus, and the blood of Jesus cleanses your conscience from dead works. I must say this, we don't have it available right now, but please try and remember, if ever there's some CD I'd like you to buy, it's one called Clean Conscience. I preached it about 20 months ago, and I do believe it could have been the best message I've ever preached in my life, on clean conscience. If you don't have a clean conscience, you can't serve God. Can't. So, okay. I watched a movie once. You know that woman on TV called The Nanny? The one who talks like that. I don't know her name. Yeah, it's probably from Brooklyn, right? Well, I saw in this movie once, and I always remember this, when they were getting, whoever was talking to her, she said, speak to the hand. She said, talk to the hand. I thought it was great. You know, like, talk about a brush off, eh? I thought it was cool. Well, that's what you've got to learn to do to the devil. There's a scripture in Isaiah, I can't remember where it is right now, but and it says that he has craven us on the palm of his hand. So do you ever think about that when we see Jesus, I don't care if it's here, 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 or here. Let's just be here for now, okay? It says he has craven us in the palm of his hand. How did he do that? With a big Roman spike. And when he put that, when they put that spike through his hand, when he was pierced for my sin, I'm free. I'm free. So whenever you have messed up and you need to get yourself right with God, there's only one place, there. But this is where the accuser of the brethren, this is where the person will bring a charge against God's elect. And the only way to answer him when he says, talk to the hand. Can you hear me? It may be a visual you'll never forget. Talk to the hand, because I'm craven on it. I am right there in the palm of God's hand because of the crucifixion. And I don't need to talk to him. I don't need to be accountable to him. I don't have to give him any reason for my existence, for my goodness, for my badness, for anything else. It's none of his stinking business. And as soon as you stop, when he says, where are you going? And say, oh, well, you know, I messed up. And the next thing you know what's the next thing you know? He begins to communicate with you. And you begin to sit and have a cup of tea with him. And the next thing you're doing, you're going, come on, somebody repent around here. Huh? Who you listen to? Him or him? And you just go into fellowship with the one who hates you, hates your soul, wants to destroy your life. He wants to ruin your marriage and your health and your finances and your ministry. He wants to destroy you. And you're having tea with him? Come on, mate, throw it in the harbor. Now that was good. Are you with me now? Yeah. Have no part with the devil. As soon as you hear that voice, that accusation, talk to the hand and go boldly into the throne of grace that you can obtain mercy and find the grace of help in a time of need. You think he's not glad to see you? God, he died for you. He took a spike in the hand and the feet and the spear in the side to talk to you. So I want to encourage you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. You can leave the chairs, whatever. I want to encourage you, guys. As always, I preach too long. And I was going to speak today about God's will and your will, but I don't want to rob you by speaking about it too quickly. I'm going to close on one verse. If you want to look at this, it's Wednesday. And Wednesday talks about something that very few Christians understand. What is the purpose of repentance? Is repentance to please God? Is repentance is for not for God's benefit? I want to tell you something. He will never, stay with me, five more minutes. Stay with me, don't be distracted, please. He will never change his mind about you. Because he didn't make his mind up about you in you. He made his mind up about you in Christ. Can you see that? That's when he made his mind up. When he made his mind up, he said, anyone who comes to me in his name, you're welcome. You're welcome. And this reality is so real. We are so locked in to the religion of examining sin so we can repent from it, instead of studying the scripture that says, and I will quote it exactly, Acts 20:21. Somebody say 20:21. It talks about repentance toward God and faith towards Jesus Christ. So many people, when they mess up, rather than saying, oh God, I messed up, throne of grace, they go, oh God, I've messed up. Why did I do that again? Why do I keep doing that? And somebody over here is nodding, pouring the tea. Huh? God, I'm always doing that. You're getting all the agreement you need from the devil himself. Instead of going, oh God, I messed up. Repentance, change your mind, towards God. And faith towards Jesus Christ. That's what changes your life. Not trying to figure out why you're such a moron. Can you hear what I'm saying this morning? We are wasting our time trying to make ourselves better. You'll never change one stinking thing about your life until you forget every stupid thing you've ever done yesterday, the day before, and forever, and turn towards God and come to Him with all your filth, your rubbish, your stupidity, your ignorance, every way you've ever failed, and He will welcome you into the throne of grace and give you all the mercy you need. So my beloved brothers and sisters, why do you think it's called the gospel? Why do you think it's called the good news? Because we take out all the hard work of trying to change ourselves with the devil in our ear. This way, let's go talk to Jesus. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that brings me to your throne. And Father, I thank you that I'm not going to continue to... Sure, when I take communion, I'm going to examine myself and just make sure. And at that moment, I go to the throne of grace. At that moment, I go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. So, Father, I just want to thank you this morning. I want to thank you for your goodness and mercy. You know, I somehow we need to respond to this, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to do. Maybe some of you are not used to what we might call an altar call or whatever it used to be called in the old days. But you know, sometimes just the act of stepping forward, you know, Jesus said, if you're not ashamed of me in public, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father. You know that? Sometimes just the act of saying, you know, I need to really come to your throne of grace. And this is not the throne of grace. I'm not the throne of grace. I'm no better than anybody except by the grace. But I would like to ask you this morning, if there's anything that the devil's been accusing you of again and again and again, if you want to begin the path of change, the path of change, because it's going to take a while to reprocess our thinking. It's going to take a while to reprocess our habits. It's going to take a while to understand the truth that sets us free. But if there's anything like that, just why don't you come and take a step up the front here this morning. Just walk up the front with us, and we've got some people here who are going to pray with you, not for you. We are not the answer, but we are part of your future if you would like that. So any of you have got any kind of, you just heard what I preached. Do I have to explain it anymore? Just come forward. Just as a, hey, Jesus, here I am at the throne of grace. You know, you and him. And just come and stand in whatever way and however you feel comfortable. And just realize that whatever accusing voice is going on in your head, especially failure, doesn't that voice of failure love to mess you up and stop you taking a chance in the future? Why don't you come forward, those of you that have been accused of failure, you've messed up, and just as a way of saying, Lord, here am I. Use me. Thank you, Jesus.